Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, I'd like to welcome you to Cook's Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, we have several announcements to make before we get started. The first is we're going to be receiving our 10 cents a meal offering this morning. Please be sure to mark your donations 10 cents, and thank you for helping us to feed the hungry. Our new prayer team meeting has a team meeting today at 4:30. That's in room 113. And then next Saturday, May 4th, we'll have our quarterly prayer vigil in our sanctuary from 8 to noon. Anyone and everyone is invited to spend some time in prayer. Kay and James are going to provide some more mission, some more information about that in our moment for mission. I just want to say the class that we had last week was a great introduction. This is a great time to get started this next week. This week, rather. It's just an amazing class. If you want to know how to help people and really feel empowered to not only know the Lord deeply yourself, but to then convey that knowledge to somebody else in crisis, this is a great class to come to. And Jane, Kay and James will tell you more about it. The Cook's Cares class that I teach on cooking is changing time today and for the future as well, most likely. It will meet at 3 o'clock today. And today at 3, what we're going to be doing is I'll be showing you how to make a great brunch. I'm going to show you how to make a strata and a coffee cake that will astound your friends and family when you have them over. So come and join us at 3 for that, and then the prayer class at 4:30. And then being on Authentic Church, our adult Bible study at 6 o'clock, and all adults are invited to join us. So please, avail yourself of the many offerings of our church this afternoon, if you've got some time. The beautiful flowers this morning are in honor of our wonderful parents, Dwight and Diane Black, from Lindsay, Dan and Hayden Bolts, and Darren and Laura Black. They are indeed beautiful. Those are the announcements that I have. Do we have any announcements that need to come before the congregation before we get to Kay and James? Okay.
Morning. Good to see y'all this morning. Great to be here. This, like he said, we're going to talk about the power of prayer and prayer. Prayer is powerful, and it is our connection to God through Jesus Christ. There are exciting things happening here, and this is one of them. The powerful results we've seen from prayers have been just really amazing with the members and friends here. In Matthew 18:18-20, Jesus tells us about the power of prayer. He said, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where there are two or three gathered in my name, I am there among them." This New Revised Standard Version.
Our prayer room, even though it's very new to us, has already proven to be very powerful in answering prayer. Since James and I have been participating as prayer partners in the prayer room, we have certainly seen and felt the power of our Lord, the healing and the peace that he has brought to people who have come to the prayer room has just been simply amazing. And it is truly an honor for us to provide that care and to pray with folks who come there. It's very important for us to tell you that what happens in the prayer room stays in the prayer room. So if you have a prayer need or a concern and you want to come but you want it to be kept quiet, it is kept quiet. Nothing leaves the doors of the prayer room, except we continue to pray on and on for those who come. We need more prayer partners. We need people to help in the prayer room. It happens just for a short time every Sunday after service. So we're holding a series of classes, just as Jason just told you. And the classes are not just for people who want to serve in the prayer room, but it's for anyone who thinks, well, gee, when somebody comes to me and they have a concern or a care or a need or a loss in their life or even a joy, how do I support that person? What do I say that are healing words, and what do I say that are hurting words? So our classes are not just for people who want to be prayer partners in the prayer room. We hope that other people will step forward and help us with that effort because, you know, we are travelers and we are gone sometimes for weeks at a time, and we need folks that can help pinch hit for us when we're not here. So these classes that we're holding do happen 4:30 today in room 113. This will be the second class. The first class was an introduction. If you want to come and feel like you missed the first class, I am happy to make that class up for you. It will not be hard. Tonight's just going to kind of be a springboard off of the first class. And so we do hope that you will come and participate with us. If you have questions, come by the prayer room or call us.
There are other exciting things happening here. It's really neat to be a part of this, and as we're going to construct a prayer wall, and this will be a wall probably like a 4x4 foot that is out here. We'll have holes in it so you can put prayers in it. There'll be a small box, a receptacle with paper and pen in it so you can write your prayers down and put them in the wall. You can put your name on it or not. It doesn't matter. And each one of these will be prayed for individually, not as a group, but each one taken out will be prayed for. And this is something that's going to be new to us. And another thing we're planning is a drive-by prayer. And that'll be once a month, and there will be a group of us, hopefully, that are out here, and we'll announce it, put it on. That's a good thing about the sign. We'll put it on a new sign, and we're going to put flyers out in the businesses around announcing it. That's on when it'll be, and we will stand out there, and hopefully people will come in with their prayers and concerns over this. And as this is something completely new to us, the prayer wall and the drive-by prayer. Another exciting thing that's happening is the prayer vigil, which is this coming Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
May the 4th. Mm-hmm. And that is a time you can come. And is there a time on it?
8 to noon.
Yeah, it's from 8 to noon.
Okay. You can come in here and sit in solitude and just have a quiet time with God and express your needs, and there'll be some of us here if you want somebody to pray with you or for you, or you can just spend this time yourself, just like I said, having a quiet time with God. And it is, I cannot tell you how good it feels when you pray for somebody, when you can feel the Spirit of God come through you and flow through you with these prayers.
So, folks, there truly is power in prayer, and Cook's is on the cusp of a powerful prayer movement. I feel it. I know it's coming, and you all are part of it. So let's join together as a body of believers in all of these prayer efforts, and I know that we will see the power of prayer unfold before our very eyes. So if you are feeling that tap on your shoulder, come tonight, 4:30, and let's learn more together how we can pray for each other.
Come, let us worship the Lord, who clothes himself in light and majesty. Lift up your hearts to the one who reigns on high, whose glory is painted across the heavens.
We raise our voices in praise, for your faithfulness surrounds us like a mighty shield.
Join in the chorus of creation, celebrating the strength and splendor of our God.
Together we declare your greatness, O Lord, for you are holy and reign forever in glory.
Let us continue in prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we gather in your presence this day, our hearts eager and our spirits yearning for the touch of your most precious grace. Lord, in the vast expanse of your mercy, draw us nearer to the truth of your transformative power. We stand before you this morning, humble and open, ready to be reshaped by your masterful hands. Father, awaken us in a deep desire for renewal. Stir our souls from complacency to action, from indifference to fervent devotion. May your Spirit move mightily among us, refining our hearts, renewing our minds, and rekindling our spirits. God of endless possibilities, embolden us to embrace the changes you seek to make in our lives. Let every heart here be an altar where your love ignites a flame of lasting transformation. As we seek to understand and apply your word, inspire us to live out the truth of your gospel, reflecting your love and light in every corner of our lives. We ask this in the powerful and holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever and ever. Amen. Now let us rise, those of us who are able, and join our voices together singing our first hymn. Epistle of John, we read the words that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But the epistle goes on to tell us that if we confess our sins, that God, who is faithful and is just, he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. So in humility and in faith, let us now go before the Lord, offering up this corporate prayer of confession. Then in the silence, laying before him our brokenness, with the expectation not of encountering God's condemnation, but instead encountering God's amazing grace. Let us now lift up this prayer found in this morning's bulletin. Merciful God, we confess that we have often conformed to the patterns of this world. We have resisted your call to be transformed and have neglected your gentle whispers for change. Forgive us for our complacency and for the times we have closed our eyes to the renewing work of your Spirit. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Help us to embrace the life you desire for us, a life marked by your grace and truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, I declare to you this wonderful and awesome truth. By the waters that were poured over us in our baptism or that we were dunked in, we know that God has issued a claim on us. It's a claim that was actually uttered before the foundations of the earth, but was made known to us in the waters of baptism. And in those waters, we encountered the most amazing thing: forgiveness. Complete, total, utter sins of the past, sins of the present, sins of the future, forgiven by one good and awesome God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are truly forgiven forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now let us sing what we believe. Please be seated, and at this point, we'd like to invite the kids to come forward for a time that's just with for them.
Are we? Oh, there we go. All right. Wow, we've got a crowd today. I like this, guys. Let me move this over a little bit. So today's verse is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. So it's about transforming your mind, not into the ways of the world, but into the ways that God wants us to believe, the ways of heaven, the higher thinking. And so I have a representation here. I'm going to do it for you guys. So for the audience, I've got a cup half filled with coffee. So the cup represents the worldly ways of thinking. Or the cup is you, the coffee is the worldly ways of thinking. So it's dark and mucky, and it can be sometimes useful if you know, you know, how to drive or how to do your taxes. Maybe it's nice to be smart in the ways of the world. But really what we are shooting for is to be wise in the ways of God. And so I'm going to pour this water in, and this represents the ways of God. And as you pour it and you fill it and it goes over, it becomes diluted. And so what we're shooting for is to be full of the ways of God and become clearer and clearer and clearer. And so to do that, we have to overwhelm the ways of the world with God's clear thinking. Do you see how it's getting clearer and clearer? You're looking very serious there at it. So, by getting clearer, we become closer to God, and by understanding Him more, we become clearer. Pray with me, please. Thank you, God, for giving us your higher thinking, for showing us that you choose us and love us, and helping us to clear our minds of the worldly ways. Amen.
Come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and we do so with the confidence and belief that God really speaks to us in the reading and proclamation of his word. We believe as Presbyterians that God is especially active by the power of his Holy Spirit as the words are read and then testified upon. And so we prepare now for the reading of the word through our prayer for illumination. So join me as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, bless us afresh with this new reading of your word. Awaken within us the imaginative possibilities of what you would have us do and be. Transform us, God, by this word's reading and proclamation so that we may know you, worship and adore you, and most especially, O Lord, crucify ourselves to follow you. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Our Old Testament scripture reading today is Ezekiel 36, 24 through 32. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove you from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I will give your ancestors. And you will be my people, and you, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanliness. I will call you for the grain, and it will be plentiful, and it will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops in the field, so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Then you will remember your evil ways and wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourselves for your sins and detestable practices. I want you to know that I am doing this for your sake, declares the Sovereign Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced of your conduct, people of Israel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading is the reading that we did last week. I was so moved, I decided I wanted to come back and give it a whirl. So we're in Romans 12, and I'm reading verses 1 through 3. I invite you now to follow along and hear the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to begin our story, our sermon rather, just with a story of God, because I think it opens up into the sermon. Something that happened to me that I want to share with you just briefly about that does, in fact, get us to the sermon. But give me a little latitude here. Several months ago, God really laid upon my heart that it was time for me to attend some Charlotte Country Day reunion events. And I decided that that was a good idea. I felt that that was going to be a lot of good things to come from it. And so I called and was able to convince a couple of my friends to come. One came in from Denver. Anyway, we were able to go, but we got the list of the other people that were coming ahead of time. And man, was I before I looked at that list, I was lining up. I mean, there were only like 100 of us, so I was thinking, is Amy going to be there? Is Patrick? I had all this list of people in my mind that I was really excited that were going to be there. None of those people were on the list, right? Like, not a one. And so there was one name on the list of a guy I couldn't even remember, right? Like, I was like, how did I spend 12 years with this person and now they're no longer in my memory banks at all? There's a story there. I won't bore you with it. Anyway, I used that guy as an example of why I probably shouldn't go. You think, I don't know anybody there. And heck, there's going to be somebody there that I don't even know. What kind of fun is that going to be? But again, I had convinced my friends to come, and flaking out was not a possibility. So I went and really had a very marvelous time. But I want to tell you about that one guy, the guy that I said and announced that I was just silly that I was going, that I shouldn't even think, you know, I don't know this guy at all. Who is about the fourth guy I meet at this reunion? It's none other than that guy. And that guy says to me, oh my God, it's Jason Bryant. Thank goodness you're here. We've been waiting for you. You haven't come to any of these. And I was like, wow, okay, this is neat. Wasn't expecting that. So it was a feather in my cap. But then this is when God shows his fireworks, right? Because, you know, I left that school and I wasn't a Christian at all. And I didn't know anything about anybody else's Christianity because at that time I just didn't care. I thought all y'all were nuts. And the fact of the matter is that guy had just gotten back from a mission trip to Cuba, right? But it gets even cooler because he was with this group called Filter for Hope. And he was delivering potable water to people in Cuba. They don't have that very much, but these filters allow them to do it. And sometimes, you know, mission work becomes about the work, and it doesn't really testify to Jesus Christ, and that's a problem. You know, just as a side note, when we do mission, it really needs to be attached to the proclamation of the gospel, but sometimes it isn't. And so I'm hearing him talk, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he probably just did some mission tourism, right? God got me. Then he says to me, he goes, and you know what? I got to make 40 presentations of Jesus Christ. He's like, I got to proclaim the gospel to 40 people. And he's like, we had a 47% acceptance rate. And I was like, wow. So here is this guy that I didn't even want to see, who not only embraced me as a brother, but then shared with me the greatest good news that I'd heard in weeks, right? And I got to tell you, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, there's your story. Because God humbled me, as he has humbled me many times in the past. But I said I would get to the sermon, and here it is. The class of 1989 at Charlotte Country Day was legendary. And I happen to stand here as one of the people that made it such. But not in the way that you would want a class to be legendary. But I will say, we had developed such a reputation that they were glad to be done with us. The class of 89 was gone. They were happy. But that's exactly right. These guys, these idiots are gone. But let me tell you, 35 years, you know what it does? Well, it transforms people. And what I was able to be around last night with my brothers and sisters from so many years ago was a group of people that have all now had kids and settled down. And we're nowhere near the rebellious, cantankerous, awful class of 89. The time had transformed us. We had been transformed. And a great many of us, the wonderful thing about this reunion was just to discover how deeply Jesus Christ has impacted lives in that community. It's amazing. And it's funny to think maybe it was like that when I was there, but I didn't believe, so I didn't even realize that everybody really had a heart for Jesus Christ. But anyway, we talk about transformation sometimes, and we miss the thread that it is the expected outcome of the Christian life. Like, this transformation where we go from the old life to the new, from the dark to the light, from the dead to the living, right? That is assumed to be the trajectory of Christians. New life, make no mistake about it, new life, transformed life, is very biblically the expected outcome for those who walk in faith with Jesus Christ. But now that transformation can take time and can take energy and years to develop and to change us. It can be a very slow process, or in God's economy, sometimes it can be a very fast one. But however it happens, it does happen. And that's why Paul, at this critical juncture in Romans, comes to us to talk to us about transformation. He comes to us in this chapter very deliberately. Romans sets up like a masterclass. Obviously, it's the book of Romans, right? Like, how could it not be brilliant? But it really, truly exhibits a thought and a depth of a depth of belief and clarity that you need to read several times to get. But when you see it, you'll see it. The first six or seven chapters really deal with salvation. God, he's talking about really the stuff that I hope that I talk about every Sunday, which is that Jesus Christ, really a man, really a God, literally died for us. He took away the penalty of the sin that we accumulate, and he took that penalty on himself. By his stripes, 1 Peter tells us, we are healed, right? And so by his stripes we are healed is the message that Jesus gets us, and that we will be transformed by that power is the subsequent declaration. And why would we need that? Because in this section of Romans, as I said, we reach a turning point. He's laid out for us the theology in chapters 1 through 8, through 7 through 9. He's working really with what is salvation for the Jews. And then he comes in 12 and he makes a turn. And the turn is to the transformed life. Don't miss it. Everything in this point forward in Romans, as you read 12 through 16, is about what life should look like for those who have been transformed by God's power. And at the key heart and beating soul of this understanding of this transformation is the awareness that it is distinctly and decidedly different from what the world's ways are. He says it very clearly, do not conform to the patterns or the ways of this world. And it's a stunning reminder. Because he says here at this moment that he's going to talk about the transformed life, he emphatically declares, don't go back to the old. Don't be conformed to the ways of the world. Your new life, and we hear then that echoes of 2 Corinthians, if anybody is in Christ, new creation. The new creation doesn't blend terribly well with the old, as Rachel's demonstration shows us. That thank God that the power of the new overtakes the dark and the dank of the old. And we know that because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, drawing us closer and closer to God. But again, we tend to gravitate toward conformation to the world, and we do it in a lot of different ways, but we shouldn't. And why? We think, well, we're in the world, we might as well act the ways of the world. But the Bible tells us a profoundly different narrative. You may think that because you were physically born here on earth that this is, in fact, your home calling, your station, your base, your home. But what the scriptures reveal is something far different, that our home isn't here. It's actually in heaven, and we hear it in two very consequential places, and so we should hear those now. First, the obvious, the textbook quote is Philippians 3, 20 and 21, where Paul writes, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. But you hear there, our citizenship is in heaven. That's from Paul. But now come back into the high priestly prayer in John's gospel as we get into John 17 and hear what Jesus himself says. In verses 14 through 19 of that John's Gospel, Jesus says this, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they may also be sanctified in truth. Jesus Christ is telling us the arc and the trajectory of the Christian life himself. Not arising from here, but instead coming from heaven, the Christian will be sanctified, that is, transformed. That is change from the dark into the light, from the old into the new, from the dead into the living. And what God has said is that he will take that process and transform us for a particular reason. You know, sometimes as I hear and read this great high priestly prayer, I get a little aggravated, because what Jesus is telling us is that he is going to leave, but that we are going to stay, right? We are here, and he is at, as we know, the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Now, again, he promises us the Holy Spirit, and man does he deliver. And we know that from stories like I shared at the beginning, but through countless ones in your own individual lives. But what we can see in that is that the sanctifying power of God changes lives. It transforms people. It says, do not conform to this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your minds. It is the locus, that is, what's in between our ears, is the sight where that transformative change begins to happen. Yes, our hearts will be softened, but Paul tells us it's our minds that need the altering. And why? Because even though we aren't from here, we tend to gravitate like we are, and we tend to find ourselves engaged in actions and behaviors that aren't particularly healthy for ourselves, but certainly not allowing us to be transformed. We tend to prefer individualism over community. You know, again, I experienced that. I didn't want to see these people for 35 years. I chose to live apart from them when I could have had a much more positive presence in their lives. We're oftentimes busy ignoring our Sabbath rest. We find ourselves conforming to the world through making Sunday just another busy day where we fill it with lots of different things. I always get a kick out of this. Not much has changed from the days of Augustine. On Sunday, their holy day as well, Romans used to have gladiatorial games, interestingly enough. And in one of his sermons that we have preserved for us, Augustine apparently looks around the room and laments that not many people are there because they're all at the gladiatorial games. So we understand that sometimes our conformity to the world sees us in other places and doing other things on the Sabbath. But we tend to take tolerance as an ultimate value. We tend to create social media personas. And most importantly, we tend to take our approval cues and desires from other people and not from the Lord, which will always get us into trouble. And that's one of the ones that I have to say, guilty as charged at times. Because sometimes it seems it's more important to have the approval of your friends and families than it is to be in square standing with God. But what we find is that the more we accommodate the ways of the world, the more the ways of the world continue to overtake us, and the more we find ourselves creeping back from life to death, from light to darkness, and from the old, the light to the dark, because we know that we are failing to be transformed. So what are the ways that we find ourselves being renewed by God? Well, again, we come back into James 4, and we look and we see there that if we draw near to God, that God will draw near to us. And so if what we desire, if what the Holy Spirit is egging us on and urging us to is to a greater conformity to holiness in him, then what we will find is ourselves changing our patterns of actions and thoughts and processes. We will find ourselves more and more engaged in Bible study, more and more engaged in personal prayer and devotion time, more and more engaged in the witness and work of the church, more and more engaged with the work of Jesus Christ. Because the point, as we've heard from the very beginning, is to not just be transformed for ourselves to feel that good nature of God, but is instead to be transforming others. There is, in fact, a mutuality that we miss. You see, when God sanctifies us, makes us even more holy, he does so with a point, a purpose, and a plan. And that is to transform other people in the power of the Holy Spirit. As Christians, our job is to witness to the world, to Jesus Christ, in a way that makes joining a church or deepening a relationship with Jesus Christ ever more appealing. We've got a great way to do one today. Guys, this class that James and Kay are teaching is a perfect entry point. If one of your desires in the future is to see this church grow, and I hope that is one of your desires, then this class is going to be something very essential for as many of us as can take it, will take it. And the reason is caring people really resonate the gospel. When people know that you are capable of reaching them in their moments of crisis and needs with a powerful word and a message of God, which can happen as you grow and deepen and lengthen your walk with Jesus Christ, they will be relieved. You will be the salt of the earth. You know why? Because salt, what it does dynamically, is it tamps down on bitterness. And when you're the salt of the earth, you take the bitterness that this world that's broken and dark and evil just gives and magnifies to people. And you then become something sweet and wonderful and winsome. When you reach someone in crisis with a prayer from God, you will see change, not only in them, but friends, you'll see it in yourself as well. Because as you take on that mantle of prayer warrior, as you find yourself intersecting with the Holy Spirit and lifting up somebody from the darkness into the light, from the old into the new, from death into eternal and abundant life, you are going to know the goodness, mercy, and peace of God at a level that maybe you've never experienced before, and it's going to make you want more. More for yourself and more for other people. Because in that changed and transformed place, you will be the new creation that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians. You will be the priesthood of all believers. You will be light and salt. You will be the transformative body of Jesus Christ to see more and more lives overflow with peace and contentment and a serenity that is only comes from God. So friends, allow yourself today to be transformed. If you're holding some darkness in your heart, give it up. Go to the prayer room after the service today and just surrender to God, if that's what it takes. Come and be a part of what we're doing, because what we're doing is bringing light to darkness. We're giving hope where there is despair. We're giving sweet when there is nothing but bitter. Because friends, we're not from this world. We never were, never will be. And one day when we're rejoicing in heaven and thinking back on our travails here, we'll laugh and enjoy our dance in eternity forever, knowing that it was Jesus Christ, the faith that he gave us and shared with us through the Holy Spirit, that delivered us through the darkness of the night of this earth and delivered us into that place of eternal rest, peace, and joy, new heavens and a new earth. And that's our destiny, friends. You have been transformed to transform others so that we can all rejoice in the transformation of the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we lift up to the world, the Lord, those things that weigh upon our heart. So let us go now to the Lord in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you, Father God, for your time this morning, for your word. We thank you for the ability to gather amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ and to be lifted up in word and in spirit by you, Father God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who did everything necessary for us and for our salvation. It was his willingness to accept not only incarnation, but also degradation, suffering, and yes, even death, Father God, on our behalf. And yet, through the worst thing we ever did, God, your power shone through and you delivered the greatest thing we ever needed. For through our transgressions, you delivered Jesus Christ, and he has saved us, and we rejoice. There is power in the blood, Father. There is power in the blood. And Heavenly Father, we just ask and pray that that blood washes over us afresh, enabling us to take up this call, this clarion call, to be transformed in the power of your Holy Spirit. And as part of that transformative energy, we just lift up to you now those names that weigh heavily upon our heart. We think today especially of the Lucky family and the many travails that are overtaking them. And we just ask, O Lord, that though their needs are many, that you would continue to guide and surround them with your watch care and your love. We pray for Jack Parker and Johnny Quinn. We pray for Linda Lynn and Charlie McCrary. We pray for Jill Griffin and Tom McClure. We pray for Bev Weldy and Jenny Dunn. Heavenly Father, we continue to pray for those who are grieving a loss of a loved one and for the many others that are in need of our intercessory prayers. All these prayers, Father God, are given to you with the hope and trust that not only are you hearing them, but you are indeed acting on them. And they are all made in the strong and holy and everlasting and righteous name of Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. And we conclude our prayer praying to you the prayer he taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We come to the end of our worship service, but we continue it in our celebration of this church. Friends, I hope you will continue to dwell with us richly for several minutes as we celebrate being Cook's Church, as we rejoice in knowing our brothers and sisters in Christ. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen. Service if you have a prayer request or need. Enjoy your day.